You never know what Dave's going to do, really. You don't. I have known him for a while.
You hear me now? Yeah, okay. So, I'll repeat. 2 Chronicles 18, and it's page 435 in your pew Bibles. And I did, the outline is, just provided in case that might be helpful for personal or family review later. As I've prepared for this evening, I've thought of all the wonderful associations that my family has had with this congregation. And I was reflecting on the fact that your first pastor, Bob Atwell, presided at the congregational meeting where my father was called to the church in Pittsburgh. And part of the link there was that one of the founding ruling elders in Pittsburgh was R.R. Stewart, whose daughter, Betty, was married to Bob Atwell, and Betty later married Art. But just a lot of connections there. So thankful for them. And tonight, we want to ask the question, when God is sovereign, is there any such thing in your life that happens by chance or luck? And so we want to turn now to the Word of God in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And let's hear the word of the Lord. Now Jehoshaphat, this is during the time of that Elijah also lived, right? Elijah and Ahab. Now Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he allied himself by marriage with Ahab. Some years later, he went down to visit Ahab at Samaria, and Ahab slaughtered many sheep and oxen for him and the people who were with him and induced him to go up against Ramoth-Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go up with me against Ramoth-Gilead? And he said to him, I am as you are, my people as your people, and we will be with you in the battle. Moreover, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire first for the word of the Lord. Then the king of Israel assembled the prophets, 400 men, and said to them, shall we go up against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain? And they said, go up. God will give it into the hand of the king. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah. But Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring quickly Micaiah, Imlah's son. Now, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting each on his throne, arrayed in their robes. And they were sitting at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, made horns of iron for himself and said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Arameans until they are consumed. All the prophets were prophesying thus, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and succeed, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. Then the messenger went to summon Micaiah. The messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets are uniformly favorable to the king. So please let your words be like one of them and speak favorably. But Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, what my God says, that I will speak. When he came to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain? He said, go up and succeed, for they will be given into your hand. Then the king said to him, how many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? So he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace. Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing on his right and on his left. The Lord said, who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, to go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said this, while another said that. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said to him, how? And he said, I will go and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Then he said, you are to entice him and prevail also, go and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of these your prophets, for the Lord has proclaimed disaster against you. Verse 25. Then the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this man in prison and feed him sparingly with bread and water until I return safely. Micaiah said, if you indeed return safely, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, listen, all you people. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up against Ramoth Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and they went into battle. Now the king of Aram had commanded the captains of his chariots, saying, do not fight with small or great, but with the king of Israel alone. So when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. When the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. A certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel in a joint of the armor. So he said to the driver of the chariot, turn around and take me out of the fight, for I am severely wounded. The battle raged that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot in front of the Arameans until the evening, and at sunset he died. Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned in safety to his house in Jerusalem. Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord, and so bring wrath on yourself from the Lord? But there is some good in you, for you have removed the Asherah from the land, and you have set your heart to seek God. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, we would tonight put on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We would seek to acknowledge you in our lives and thoughts as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So subdue us, our minds and hearts, to yourself, that there we might find rest, that there we might worship. This we pray in Jesus' name. The name that is above all names. Amen. Our lives are like a counted cross stitch. If you look on the back of this counted cross stitch, it looks like a lot of loose threads crisscrossing, and you really can't see what it is or what it says. And yet behind our lives, it's like the other side, isn't it? Behind our lives is the clear design of God, which has little sheep, and it says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Behind the crisscrossing of the loose threads and all the knots and loose ends, behind that is the perfect plan and design of God. Psalm 139, verse 16 says, the days that were ordained for us, they were all written in his book before there was one of those days. There is a clear design of God. There is a pre-written biography. There's a pre-written, clear biography of your life and my life and all lives. And yet, our lives as we see them aren't so neat and tidy, are they? They're not so neat and tidy. And we don't know our biography ahead of time, do we? We don't understand why the crisscrosses of the threads. We don't understand the loose ends. And this evening, we want to better appreciate the difference it makes for the fact that God does stitch our lives according to his design. It does make a difference to know that God himself has a clear design. In Ephesians 1:11, the Lord says, God works all things after the counsel of his will. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is like streams of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns that stream wherever he wants. Or we might say, the president's head in Butler County is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns that head where he wants it. Or the Lord holds your life in his hand, and he turns it where he wants it. In 2 Chronicles 18, we have quite the scene. There's two kings, the king of the north, Ahab, the king of the 10 tribes of the north, and then there's the king Jehoshaphat, the king of the southern tribes of Judah. And they're at the capital city of the northern tribes in Samaria. And they're there on their thrones, sitting in their royal robes in the capital city. And there's Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the good king of the southern tribes of Judah, whom the Lord has blessed in many ways because he follows the Lord's commands, but he has compromised. He's entered into a marriage alliance with Ahab, the wicked king of the north. He's given his son Jehoram in marriage to Ahab and Jezebel's daughter Athaliah. And the king of Aram, the king of Syria, had taken Ramoth-Gilead from Ahab. He conquered a number of cities. Ramoth-Gilead was an important fortress border city. And he had promised to give those cities back to Ahab, but he hadn't kept his promise. And so Ahab wants to go and fight against the king of Syria, the king of Aram. And he wants Jehoshaphat to be an ally with him in that battle. And Jehoshaphat agrees to go. But he says, I'll go, but let's first seek what the Lord wants. And so Ahab calls his 400 false prophets. He calls his 400 prophets and he says, well, should I go up to Ramoth-Gilead and fight them and take back that border city or not? And all the false prophets say, the 400 prophets say in unison, go up, fight them, you'll succeed, you'll take back the city. They are unanimous. But Jehoshaphat detects that those prophets are just telling Ahab what he wants to hear. And so he makes a request and he says, Ahab, isn't there a true prophet of the Lord left in the land that you can see what he says? And Ahab says, yeah, there's one. Micaiah, the son of Imlah. But he never tells me anything good about me. He always says evil about me, so I hate him. And Jehoshaphat says, "Whoa, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute." So they call Micaiah. And on the way, so they take Micaiah out of prison. And the messenger that went to get him, he's bringing him to Jehoshaphat and Ahab, and he's coaching him. He's coaching him on the way, and he says, "Okay, Micaiah, you know, all these prophets are saying to Ahab favorable things. They're saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead, you'll fight, you'll win. So it would be really nice if you agreed with all of them, because they are of one mind. They speak with literally one mouth that he should go up. So it'd be nice if you agreed with them." So Micaiah responds to that coaching, and he says, "As the Lord lives, as Jehovah my God lives, what my God, my living God, says, that I will speak." So Micaiah comes before Ahab, and Ahab says, "Well, what should I do, Micaiah? Should I go up against Ramoth-Gilead, or should I refrain?" And Micaiah in verse 14 says, "Go up and succeed. They will be given into your hand. You want me to say Polly wants a crack? You want me to just mimic everybody else? Oh, I can mimic everybody else. Go ahead, go up, go up, Ahab." And Ahab senses that he's being mocked. And he says, "Wait a minute, Micaiah, I adjure you, I call you under oath to only tell me what the Lord says. Don't fund me. Don't mock me here." And so Micaiah says, "You want it straight?" Verse 16. I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. The Lord said, they have no master. In other words, Ahab, you're going to be struck down. You, the shepherd of the people, and all your people are going to be scattered. And the king says, "Oh, Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you? He wouldn't say anything good about me." And Micaiah said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord." Verse 18. "Hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right and on his left." So here's Micaiah now pulling back the curtain. He's pulling back the curtain that gives us one of those rare glimpses into the secret of God's heavenly design. And he declares what God will use to fulfill what he has predicted. "I saw." In other words, this isn't some parable. This is a vision that God gave him, a vision of heavenly realities. It's a vision that gives us a picture so that we can understand exactly the realities of heaven as they touch earth. What a contrast. There's the two earthly kings, Jehoshaphat and Ahab, sitting on their thrones. And Micaiah says, "I saw God sitting on his throne. And he is King of Kings. And he is Lord over all. And all kingdoms and all hosts of heaven. And everything is accountable to him. And I saw the host of heaven standing before him." Now, what does that make you think of? Job, right? Where even Satan had to come and appear before God. And so all the hosts, good and evil hosts, had to stand before this sovereign King of Kings and were accountable to him. And so he says, "I saw God, the judge, the Lord of all." And the Lord asks in that heavenly vision, "Who will go and seduce Ahab so he'll go die?" And one says this, another says that. And then in verse 21, one says, "I will entice him." He says, "I will go and I will be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. That's how I'll deceive him so he'll go and die." And the Lord said, "You are to entice him. You're supposed to seduce him and prevail. go and do so. This shows that Ahab's death, Israel being without their king, without their shepherd, was determined in the plan and decree of God. Verse 22. Now therefore, says Micaiah, behold, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of these your prophets, and the Lord has proclaimed disaster against you. You know, Ahab has heaped sin upon sin. He married Jezebel, right? He was led away to worship the Baals. He hired the false prophets who Ahab thinks will help him manipulate God so he can get his own way. So God determines to use these false prophets as his leash to lead Ahab to the just judgment for his sin. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He is sovereign over all. Proverbs 16:4 puts it this way: God made everything for its own purpose, even the evil for the day of judgment. God's thoughts are higher than ours, and he uses evil for his own glory without being the author of the evil. Just as he used evil for his own purposes to give us our Savior, the Lord Jesus. In Acts 2, verse 23, Peter on the day of Pentecost is preaching, and he says to those who had crucified Jesus, Jesus the Nazarene was delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, but you nailed him to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. So later they cry out, what should we do? And he says, repent. They were responsible for their act, their wicked act of crucifying the holy and righteous Son of God. And yet it was by the predetermined plan of God that he had been delivered over. And so here also in 2 Chronicles 18, God uses evil for his own purposes without removing Ahab's responsibility for his sin. So let's look at these three individuals that have been stitched into God's intricate needlework here. And ask yourself the question, which one am I like? Are you like Micaiah? What happens after Micaiah tells Ahab that these prophets are deceiving you? And you're going to be struck down if you go up to Ramoth-Gilead. What happens? Well, the Ahab says, take this guy Micaiah, who never tells me what I want to hear, take this guy Micaiah and put him in jail and give him only bread and water till I return safely. That's Ahab's response. So how does Micaiah respond to that? Does Micaiah say, oh, what a stroke of bad luck. I mean, God, there's something wrong in the pattern of your cross-stitching here. The medications aren't quite working the way they're supposed to. I've been shut in the house too long. I have these heartache disappointments, discouragements with my family. The person I trusted betrayed me. The friendship that I had has been interrupted. Jail, God? You prison, God? Just being fed food and water, God? Is that how Micaiah responds? No. No. He says in verse 27, if you indeed return safely, the Lord has not spoken by me. And then he said, listen, all you people. In other words, he's saying, my God is in control, and I can trust His Word. And I'd rather be in jail on bread and water, trusting Him, resting Him, resting in the promises of His Word, and submitting to His providence, than speak one word against Him. Do we want our lives to have the stability of Micaiah? Psalm 125, verse 1 says, those who trust in the Lord will be like Mount Zion, unmoved. Those who trust in the Lord will have that stability of an immovable mountain. J. Gresham Machen, who under God became one of the founders of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, was one of the leading faithful scholars and preachers of the 20th century. He was defrocked. He was stripped of his ministerial credentials for his commitment to send out only missionaries that believe the gospel, and for his refusal to support missionaries like Pearl S. Buck, who believed that missionary work was the work to search for the truth. She believed that people were basically good. They were not sinners who needed a Savior. Now, how can we resist, and how could he resist the pressure to join the false prophets? As Machen said in his own sermon on this same narrative, pray God that you, whom we have come to know and love, may thus be faithful after the order of Micaiah. Pray God that you may say to those who urge you to turn aside from your true calling, who urge you to speak the words like the false prophets speak, pray God that you may say to them with Micaiah, after you have been at the foot of the cross, as the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, I will speak. Brothers and sisters, you have the warnings and the truth of the gospel that your family, your friends, and your neighbors need. May the Lord bless your support of the ministry of this church as it proclaims the kingship of Jesus and the whole counsel of God. It is what our country needs. Pray that our faithful Orthodox Presbyterian pastors and elders will be blessed with opportunities to be like Micaiah, to be like Jehu, and be able to declare, have opportunity to declare to government officials the righteous standard that the Word of God calls them to uphold. In the very next chapter, Jehoshaphat comes back after the war, after the battle, and he's met by Jehu, the son of Hanani, the prophet. And he says, should you have helped the wicked? Should you have entered into an alliance with Ahab? No. But there's good in you. Chapter 17 talks about how Jehoshaphat gives his heart to seek the Lord, to seek pure worship, to seek the commandments of God. You've removed the Asherah from the land. You've set your heart to seek the Lord. So, pastors and elders, call on government officials and say, it's right for you to declare that there's only male and female. It's right for you to have an executive order to protect the religious freedoms with in America, and to oppose those weaponizing of government actions that hinder those freedoms. But then you all ask the question. You commend the right. You call to righteousness. But then at the same time, you ask the question, is it right to pardon those who have committed serious felonies? So, the Lord asks you the question today, Are you like Micaiah? Standing, stable, resting in the word of the Lord and confident in His promises? Or are you like Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat, who truly is a child of the Lord, you truly are a Christian, and yet you know better. And yet your compromises with sin have gotten you into trouble. Jehoshaphat, maybe are you like Jehoshaphat, where you've put your desire for friendship and peace before the Lord. And now you think, because I messed up, it's too late. Because I messed up, God's not going to answer my prayers anymore. Well, Ahab's going into battle. And he says, I'm going to disguise myself. I'm going to go into battle in camouflage. So that nobody knows that I'm the king, so that I won't get attacked. But you, Jehoshaphat, you go ahead and wear your royal kingly robe and you go into battle, right? And the king of Syria had told his officers, he said, now, don't fight with anybody, but just fight with Ahab, the king of Israel. And so there they are going into battle, and they see somebody in their kingly robes. It's Jehoshaphat, but they think it's Ahab, so they start chasing him. And Jehoshaphat cried out to the Lord. Verse 31. Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. Can you see how God has answered your prayers? And how God has delivered you from the messes that your own compromises have gotten you into? From the messes that your own failures have gotten you into. And yet, when you cried out, God still heard you. Oh, how gracious is your Father in heaven. How gracious is He. But you say, wait a minute. If God is in control, why should you or Jehoshaphat or anybody cry out and pray at all? I mean, God's in control. Whatever's going to be is going to be. Well, wait a minute. Why eat? If God has determined how long you're going to live, why eat? Well, you eat because eating is the means by which you're going to live as long as God wants you to live, right? And prayer is the means that God has ordained by which you live in fellowship with Him and by which He delivers you as His child. And prayer is only meaningful. Prayer only works because God is sovereign, because God is in control, because He is on His throne, because He does hear. And so, what does Micaiah say? I see the Lord sitting on His throne. And because God is in control, and God who made the ear hears us, He answers us. It's worth praying only because God is in absolute control and able to hear us. We pray because we know that God is on His throne and He hears, and He will not fail you when people disappoint you and fail you. And no man, no devil can sabotage His answers to help His children. So when Jehoshaphat, in the mess he got himself into, cried out, the Lord heard. The Lord diverted the enemy. The Lord rescued him. And Jesus, even now, stands at His Father's side, the right hand of the Father, and He has ascended there to live and pray for you, to hear your cries. You like Micaiah? You like Jehoshaphat? Or are you like Ahab? Do you only listen to the people that tell you what you want to hear? I'll disguise myself. I'm gonna just put myself in camouflage. I'm gonna escape the consequences of my sin and my rebellion. I'm gonna escape it. Cool, man. Is anyone able to prevent God's judgment without repenting? Verse 33, we read, a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel, Ahab, in the joint of his armor. It was just a little slit between his breastplate and his belt. So he said to the driver of the chariot, turn around, take me out of the fight. I am severely wounded. So here's a man, literally it says he did this at random. He did this in innocence, in simplicity, without definitely aiming his arrow at anybody. And against all statistical odds, an unknown man, without trying to, hits the disguised Ahab in an unlikely spot. And Jehoshaphat, who's not disguised, escapes unharmed. Why? Because God planned it all. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Who's going to go out and milk the cows today? You put a stone with everybody's name on it. You put it in your lap. And you jiggle your robe. And the stone that comes out, and it says, Harry. Well, then Harry has to go milk the cows that day. Or we could say in modern lingo, man throws the dice, and God determines how the spots show up. One. Today it was a one. Did all this happen by luck? Was it by chance that the arrow from the unknown man went in that little slit in the armor? Now, if you say that was luck, if you say that was chance, you got to know what you're saying. You got to be consistent, and you got to live all your life like you believe that everything is by chance and by luck. And you got to plant your pumpkins that way. Well, I might as well just plant my pumpkins the same way I plant radishes. You know, you plant radishes an inch apart, right? Well, I'll plant my pumpkin seeds an inch apart. What's going to happen? You are going to have one tangled mess in your garden, right? One tangled mess. And as they grow into that tangled mess, you might say, oh, there's no God who determines an order in this world. There's no God. There's no relationship between one event and the other. Everything's by luck. Everything's by chance. If you don't do everything by chance, you are borrowing from the Christian worldview, which says God is in control. It was not by luck. There was a certain man who drew his bow at random, innocence, not even with aiming it. And he struck the king of Israel. And at sunset, he died. Why? Why? Verse 22. Because the Lord had proclaimed disaster against him. Are the threads of your life crisscrossing? And you don't know why this happened or that happened. Ah, it's hard, isn't it? Do things seem like they're all at loose ends? Seems like it's all like the back of a counted cross stitch. Let's not insist that our Lord have everything make sense to us. You know, we can delay judgment on other things, can't we? We can say, oh, we'll delay judgment on the trade that ball team made. I'll delay judgment on my girlfriend's new hairdo or her new dress. I'll delay judgment on that. But then we can be rash and hasty in the demands we make of our God, can't we? On the back our lives seem like all those knots and threads and crisscrossing, like one side of the needlework. But that doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, there's a mistake on the other side. You know, it all seemed wrong and messy to the disciples when Jesus said, "I'm going to go die in Jerusalem." Peter objected. The others didn't want it. It all seemed wrong and it all seemed messy. They thought, oh, that would be the end. They'd all be scattered. But what happened? Instead of God's people being scattered, when Jesus, the Good Shepherd, was struck, John chapter 11 tells us what happened. You know, Caiaphas thought that was going to be the end, right? He said, it's a good thing, Caiaphas, the wicked high priest, said, it's a good thing for one man, Jesus, to die for the nation. But here's John's comment. But he wasn't going to die for the nation only. But in order that he, Jesus, might gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. And so that when Jesus, a good shepherd, our good shepherd, was struck, it wasn't the scattering of his people, but it was the means by which the prophecy of Ezekiel 34 was fulfilled. The good shepherd had come to lay down his life for his people. And in him, the one shepherd who was smitten, he would be wounded for the transgressions of many people. And he would gather the scattered to himself in the embrace of his arms forever. God is on his throne. He is working all things into a pattern of good for those of you who love him. Sometimes we can see the connection between an event and how God's working it for good. We can see that in the death of our Savior, can't we? Evil men crucifying him, and there is our Redeemer paying the penalty for our sin that we might be forgiven and his forever. But when we see the knots and the loose ends, when God doesn't reveal those connections, let's not try to turn the needlework over, but let's trust in our sovereign God and his word. The secret things, Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things, the secret will belongs to the Lord our God. But the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may observe the words of his law. And the word that we have been given, that revealed word, is the word of the living God. It's the word which Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, that's what I will speak. And then he spoke a word that he says to you tonight. He says, listen. Listen, all you people. Let's pray. O sovereign King who has spoken. Sovereign King who has spoken a word unlike any word from man. Sovereign King who knows our hearts, who knows the depths of our need, who has sent a Savior for our sin, who has sent redemption for our bodies and souls. O Sovereign King, grant us renewed faith to trust you, even in acknowledgement of our failures. Grant that we, O Lord, this week might be prayerful. Grant this week, Lord, that we might hear your word, heed it, and rest in you, our sovereign Father, our gracious Father. This we pray in the strong name of Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.